Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter. Today we will be studying Perek Kuf Hei, Chapter 105 of Tehillim. We recognize Chapter 105. Its wording until verse 15 is almost identical to the song we sing every morning, either immediately before or after Baruch Sha'amar, depending on whether we daven Nusach Ashkenaz or Sfard. That tefillah comes from Divrei Hayamim, chapter 16. David HaMelech wrote it to be sung by the Levim, B'nei Asaf, as they finally brought the Aron back after its long journey, first in the fields of Plishtim, then in Kiryas Ya'arim, and then in the home of Oved Edom Hagiti. In Divrei Hayamim it writes that David HaMelech taught this song to the Levim to be sung before the Aron. And Radak tells us here that it was sung in the times of David daily. Here in Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech repeats, again with some variation, the beginning of that song. But let us take a step back. In chapter 104, Tehillim taught us that through exploring our world, by meditating on the details of nature, we can actually pull away the curtains, see Hashem, and come to a powerful recognition of the fact that this is Hashem's world. And through that recognition, as the Rambam explains, come to the feeling of Ahavas Hashem, a recognition of how much I need Hashem and love Hashem, and also Yiras Hashem, a clarity and awe of Hashem as maker of all and giver of life, and the huge responsibility we have to do right in Hashem's world. Our chapter takes us on a different kind of journey, not one of geography, but one of history. But in many ways, it is an equivalent journey with a very similar objective. The objective of this journey can be understood by the word in verse 1. Hodu Lashem kir'u b'shmo, hodiyu ba'amim alilosav. Praise Hashem, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Alilos is much more than deeds. The Sfarno explains them as pu'ulos mechuvanos lechadesh pu'ulos acheros, deeds that are done with intent to bring about other deeds, carefully planned events that would bring about a desired result. David HaMelech, as he sees the Aron finally coming home, the Aron that had been stolen from us in such a scary and devastating moment. How can the Plishtim steal our Aron? The Aron that represents Hashem's presence with us? But we know the story back in Sefer Shmuel, how the Plishtim placed the Aron near their idol, and the next day they arrived to find their idol on the floor. How they all experience plagues. How they move the Aron from Plishti city to Plishti city with the same disastrous results. And the long and miraculous journey that the Aron went on to finally reach home. And David HaMelech wants to express this moment in song. But it's more than that. David HaMelech is sharing with us a message about life, and he wants us to understand clearly, because we are also on a journey through time. And what David HaMelech shares with us here is so much happened to us, but they were all alilos, carefully planned events to bring us somewhere further. Hashem was planting events in our lives to bring us to this place. Seeing the Aron arrive at Ir David, the first steps of finally building the Beis HaMikdash for a permanent resting of the Shechina in Yerushalayim, David HaMelech wants us to truly recognize we are here at this moment only because of everything that came before, and that the same Hashem who created the world's geography is the Hashem who created the world's history. David HaMelech sees the beautiful line of Hashkacha, providence, that has brought the Jewish nation to this moment. Verse 2, Shirulo, Zamrulo, Sichu b'chol neflosav. Sing praises to him, speak of all his wondrous acts. The Ibn Ezra says Shiru means sing, Zamru means sing with instruments, and Sichu means talk about it. And Sfarno says when you are talking to your friends, talk about this. In today's vernacular, we would say this is a story that should go viral. It's important to grab these moments, these opportunities, when we do see Hashkachas Hashem in our lives and our world, and talk about it. Because if we don't, then it kind of didn't happen for us. Verse 3, His Hallelu B'Shem Kacho Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem. Exalt in His holy name, let all who seek Hashem rejoice. His Hallelu is reflexive. Praise yourselves. Be so very grateful and feel so special and proud that this God, this creator of all, is your Hashem and attaches His name to you. And through this, Farno says, you will have the power to impact your students. You will gladden those who are seeking Hashem from you. The truth is, we can only inspire others as deeply as we ourselves feel. Verse 4. Dirshu Hashem v'uzo bakshu fanav tamid. Turn to Hashem, to His might. Seek His presence constantly. Radak explains that the O's in this verse refers to the Aron. And David HaMelech is crying out, we got the Aron back. Seek it. Come visit it. Daven to Hashem near it. Don't take it for granted. And now, David HaMelech begins our walk through history. And in the next few verses, recalls our earliest moments when the entire Jewish nation was just a very tiny family. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and of course, our Imahos. And even before that, when the Jewish nation was only a dream in the minds of Avraham and Sarah, Hashem made a promise at Bris Bein Habsarim that indeed they would have a child and a grandchild and ultimately a nation, and that Hashem would connect to this nation forever, 1,000 generations. He would never let go. Verse 8. Zachar la'olam briso, davar tzivan la'elef dar. He is ever mindful of His covenant, the promise He gave for 1,000 generations. This verse is actually the key. From this moment in history, everything is about Bris Bein Habsarim, bringing this promise to actuality. Verse 9, Asher karas es Avraham ushvuaso li'Yitzchak, that He made with Avraham swore to Yitzchak. In Divrei Hayamim, this pasuk is written with a tzadi, and although here it's written with a sin, the commentaries all say it does refer to Yitzchak. The Minchas Shai, 16th century scholar who really studied words, nekudos, and their history, tells us that this is one of the four places where the word is written Yitzchak, but is a reference to Yitzchak. So here in Tehillim, two in Amos and one in Yirmiyahu, and he explains that it is written this way to remind us of the laughter that accompanied the birth of Yitzchak. And in a way, laughter belongs here, because as Rav Hirsch teaches in Bereishis, the very notion that Avraham, who was Ivri, the entire world believed one way and he believed another, that he could have a nation who would live up to his principles, who would be ambassadors of this new mission, seemed to all to be a pipe dream. After all, at this point, he was a 100-year-old father, 90-year-old mother, and they finally had had their first child. To believe that this child would turn into a nation, it was a joke. That this centenarian would be able to educate this child, pass on his legacy, make a lasting impact on the world. But verse 10, Vayamideh liYaakov l'chok liYisrael bris olam, and confirmed in a decree for Yaakov, for Yisrael, as an eternal covenant. This relationship that has been established for the Jewish nation, Malbim explains, is actually a bris olam, a necessary component, not only for us, but for the entire world, so that through us, the world will connect to Hashem. And it is in that context that the Jewish nation will receive the land of Israel. Verse 11, Limor lecha etein es eretz Kenaan chevel nachalaschem, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as your allotted heritage. And all of the events of our national lives from that moment was to bring us to our destiny. And now David HaMelech describes the next stages of our unlikely and miraculous journey. They were a few in number, a mere handful, sojourning there. 13, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. 14, he allowed no one to oppress them. He reproved kings on their account. 15, Al tigubim shichai, v'linevi'ai al tareyu, do not touch my anointed ones, do not harm my prophets. Bereishis Rabbah tells us
that these prophets are none other than our imahos, and references the time that Sarah was in true danger, captured by Paro and then Avimelech, and how Hashem did not allow anyone to touch her. Verse 16 is where Tehillim diverges from the song we sing at Shacharis that is directly quoted from Divrei Hayamim. Vayikra Ra'av al Ha'aretz, the Kol Mate Lechem Shavar, he called down a famine on the land, destroyed every staff of bread. 17, Shalach Lefnehem Ish Le'eved Nimkar Yosef. He sent ahead of them a man, Yosef sold into slavery. The plan of Hashem comes to reality through so many unpredictable and seemingly random events, sometimes not only random, but extremely painful. In our parak, David HaMelech begins to speak about the story of Egypt, the selling of Yosef, the famine, the slavery, and finally redemption. As we are going through life, it can feel overwhelming to even live through some events, let alone find meaning in them. And sometimes the most painful question we ask ourselves during difficulty is why? Why do I need to be here? Why does this need to be? But what David HaMelech does for us is show us the roadmap and remind us that there was a roadmap, that Hashem was taking Yosef, the house of Yaakov, on a journey, that there was purpose, meaning, and value in what they went through, that the pieces of the puzzle were being connected there. And so the language is Shalach Lefnehem Ish. When Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, that wasn't some random act of violence. That was a God-sent mission. Hashem sending Yosef to Mitzrayim. But it sure didn't feel like a God-sent mission. Verse 18. Inu ba'kevel raglo barzel ba'anafsho. His feet were subjected to fetters. An iron collar was put on his soul. Verse 19, Ad Espo Devaro Imras Hashem Tzurafasu, until his word came true, the decree of Hashem polished him. Because it was all that time. The Malbim says what was polishing him? The iron collar, the chains. Yosef was being tested, Yosef was being trained and polished. Because Hashem was about to bring his word, that Brisbane Hapsarim, that cosmic plan needed a lead role, and Yosef had been cast as the star. And then comes the moment of transformation. From the depths of despair, literally, Yosef is plucked out of jail. Verse 20, the king sent to have him freed, the ruler of nations released him. Verse 21, he made him the lord of his household, empowered him over all his possessions. Verse 23, Vayavo Yisrael Mitzrayim V'Yakov Gar Be'eretzcham. Then Yaakov came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in the land of Ham. Because then it all became clear. The answer to all the whys. Why did he need to go through all of this? Why was he here? It was to actualize Brisbane Hapsarim, the promise Hashem had made. But then the rest of the Jewish nation seemed to go through the same roller coaster of destiny. Verse 24, Vayiferes hamo ma'od vayatzimehu mitzarav. He made his people very fruitful, more numerous than their foes. And then verse 25, Hafach libam lisno amo lehisnakel ba'avadav. He changed their heart to hate his people and plot against his servants. And of course, what follows is the terrible slavery and suffering and torture. But then again, salvation. Verse 26, Shalach Moshe Avdo Aaron Asher Bacharbo. He sent his servant Moshe and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And miracles. From verse 27 to 36, Rav Hirsch notes that 8 of the 10 makos are listed here. He explains that the 2 absent plagues, Dever and Chin, were the only ones that were in any way similar to a natural disaster, boils and epidemic. And that this chapter is highlighting the supernatural qualities of the plagues. The order of the makos is also interesting. First Choshech and then the rest, mostly in order. Choshech is considered the last and final plague of the Osos Mofsim categories. Makos Bechoros, the death of the firstborn, was a punishment on a totally different level than the rest of the plagues. So the way that many of the commentaries understand the order here is, verse 27 is kind of an introduction that there will be signs and miracles leading up to and including Choshech, and then list the rest. Finally, in verse 36, we reach Makos Bachoros, and we left with silver and gold. And in verse 38, Samach Mitzrayim b'tzeisam ki nafal pachdam aleihem. Egypt rejoiced when they left, for dread of Israel had fallen upon them. The chapter concludes with a beautiful description of the miraculous life in the desert, the clouds, the fire, the quail, the food from heaven. And all of this, why? Because all the events, the selling of Yosef, the settling in Egypt, the slavery, the plagues, the miracles in the desert, all were alilos. All were to bring the holy word that Hashem had promised Avraham to fruition. And so we return to this refrain, verse 42, Ki zachar es dvar kacho es Avraham avdo, mindful of his sacred promise to his servant Avraham. Verse 44, Vayitain lahem artos gayim va'amal l'umim yirashu. He gave them the lands of nations. They inherited the wealth of peoples. Ba'avor yishmeru chukav v'sarosav yinsaru haleluka, that they might keep his laws and observe his teachings. Haleluka is verse 45. So that they would finally inherit Eretz Yisrael and in this holy land live in a holy way. And once again, David concludes with a peak of joy as expressed in the word haleluka. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bas Chaim Leib.